Parag Vav, we're up to yesterday. We did Pasik Tas. We did yesterday Pasik Tas through Pasik, all the way to Pasik Tezvav. We did the Mitzudos. Let's today do the Rashi and see how far we can get in the Mefarshim. So Rashi, Pasik Tas begins. There is no Pasik Tas, Pasik Yud. Lokoyach Veis Agoyla. Rashi, to take from the Goyla, take from them, from these three people. The name of the people are Chaldai, Tovia, Yedaya, and take from them the money and bring the money to Yoshio ben Tzefanya, Asher Babi Babel Rashi. Lokoyach take me Esa Goyla Mechedlai, Asher Babi Babel, Kol Honoshim Oile. Rashi makes it very clear that over here, the people, these are human beings. Okay, these are people. Then the Pasuk says, take the money and the gold, and you shall make V'yasisa crowns. And you shall put the crown, the first crown, v'samta b'roish Yoshua ben Yehoitzadak HaKoyin HaGadol. Pasuk Yidbeiz, v'yamarte lov leimor koyma Hashem elokei Hashem tzivakois leimor hine ish tzemach shemoi. There is a man, his name is Tzemach, umitachtov, who is Tzemach. Tzemach is Zerubbabel. At least according to the Mitzvot David, Tzemach was another name for Zerubbabel. And his descendant, many, many years later, will be the Melech HaMashiach. So Rashi says, Tzemach Shmohu Zerubbabel Ha'amor L'mala. Hinri Mevi Yes Avdi Tzemach. And this one it refers to before, I will go and I will bring my servant Tzemach. So Tzemach on the one hand refers to the Melech HaMashiach. But Mitzad Sheni, Tzemach refers to Zerubbabel. Notice they're very similar in the meaning of the word, because Zerubbabel means he was Mishlav Zera. He was seated in the land of Babel. Nizra, he was seated, he took root in the land of Babel, and he sprouted. And it refers also to the Melech HaMashiach. Here he may be Tzemach, V'al Shem Shetzomcha Gedulosa Me'at Me'at, because his Gedula, it sprouted little by little. That's why we call him Tzemach. Okay, that's a very important principle. That the Melech HaMashiach, according to this parish, this is something which we don't believe in today. Today we live in a world where we're taught that Mashiach is going to come in a moment. All of a sudden, out of the sky, is going to come out. Mashiach is going to drop out. Is going to drop out of heaven, on a white donkey, out of nowhere. That's not what it says. It says his name is Tzemach. And Rashi here says the significance of the word Tzemach means that it's little by little, just like a plant does not grow overnight. You don't wake up in the morning and you have from nothing, you have a massive tree. It goes, it's a process. The coming of Mashiach is a process. This is something which unfortunately is foreign to many of us, that the coming of Mashiach, according to most of what we read, is not an instantaneous event where the skies open up and all of our problems are solved. That's not that maybe it could be, who knows? No one really knows. But from the more you learn, the more you see that the Mashiach is a very long, slow process. The name of Mashiach is Tzemach. Tzemach means it sprouts. The sprouting is a slow, very slow process.
Sometimes, though, you could look at it as something that you hadn't noticed. And suddenly, there it is, a plant. All of a sudden, you haven't been looking at it, you haven't paid attention to it, and it suddenly pops up. That could be another way of looking at Tzemach.
All right, okay, but even when it suddenly pops up, doesn't pop up to be a gigantic tree. It pops up as a small item which grows gradually. I hear. Okay, let's see further. Some learn that the person over here they're referring to Tzemach is not Zerubbabel, but rather refers to the Melech HaMashiach. And even though you want to learn that's what we learn in Mitzvot David, he learns over here a parallel Nevuah. It's referring to what's going to happen now during the time of Zerubbabel, Bayesheni, but it's also referring to the Bayeshlishi. He writes in Echadami, the Rashi really says, Rashi over here says that a Nevuah has many dimensions. You can learn the Nevuah in reference to the time when it's happening, and you can learn the Nevuah in reference to what's going to be in the future. Okay, the next words of Rashi, Umitachtav Yitzmach, Mizera Hamalucha, from his, from what does it mean, Mitachtav, from beneath him? It means from his seed. from his descendants will sprout forth Mashiach. Pasuk Gimel v'hu yisohoid.
Yeah, it's often translated as a shoot, meaning an offshoot of something. In
okay.
This case, the Malchus.
The splendor of his leadership. Now here we have a difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos, yes, they took these very difficult words called V'hoya Chohen Al Kisoi. The Mitzudos said a very powerful chiddush. Is the Kohen is going to support the Melech. Let's return to those words in the Mitzudos to appreciate the significance of what he said versus what Rashi says, because Rashi appears to disagree. If we go back to the Mitzudos in Pasuk Gimel, his words there were, Ki hu ritzon loimar, Kei vi'oz, okay, it's you have the article. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines from the bottom in the Mitzudas David. No, I'm reading the wrong thing. I'm sorry. V'hu v'yakoyin al kiso. Okay, in the Mitzudas David, 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. V'hu yisa, the Kohen Gadol will carry al roishay hoid kesa melucha v'hu yesh val kisa v'hu, and this is the melech, right? This is the melech. He will sit al kisa melucha limshol to rule. V'hoya Kohen al kisoi, Kohen Gadol mizaracha, the Kohen Gadol from your seed, asher yichahein oz. Yihyeh will be lifnei, before kisei hamashiach. So when it says al kiso, does not mean that the Kohen Gadol will sit on his own throne. The Kohen Gadol does not have a throne. He does not have a chair. He doesn't sit. He stands. So what does it mean then? He will be al kiso. So he writes, oz yihyeh lifnei. The Mitzudas David loosely translates these words. He will stand before the Kisei HaMashiach, Ki Hu Yavoi Elov, the Kohen Gadol will come to the Melech HaMashiach, V'yikana Lo, and he will humble himself before the Melech HaMashiach, Uvazeh Yifarish Lo Hatam, Alo Atara Husam B'Roshah, Shimi Kesef. That goes back, going back to explain that, that's why his crown is only silver and not gold. The only one that wears a gold crown is the Melech, but the Kohen Gadol wears a silver crown. He will be humble, the Melech, to the Melech. He will turn to him and will be humble before him. So the words, according to the Mitzudos of Ahoya Kohen Al Kiso, means the Kohen will come and humble himself to the Kisoi of the Melech. Not that the Kohen Gadol will sit on his own throne. Now contrast that with Rashi. Rashi says, V'yoshav gam Kohen Gadol al Kisei HaKohuna. Okay, a very clear disagreement between the Mitzudas David and Rashi as to what the Pasuk means. And it's not just a disagreement in Pshat the Pasuk. It's the disagreement between these two approaches is so awesome, so fundamental, as to who's the boss. Who is calling the shots? Who is in charge? Okay, that's always the most important thing. Every time you enter into an environment, who is in charge? Who's the boss? Who makes the decisions here? Because ultimately, you're gonna have to follow his rules. Maybe you can get away with it for a day or two, but ultimately, that's the way it goes. You know, you go to a shul. Do you wear a mask in the shul or do you not wear a mask in the shul? If the rabbi decreed, if the authority in the shul decreed that you wear a mask, you don't have a choice. And if you don't want to wear a mask, so get out. Well, who is the authority? So we have here a fundamental machlokes Rashi in the Mitzudas as who the authority will be when the Mashiach will come. According to the Mitzudas, it's going to be the Melech HaMashiach. There's only one throne. Ein shnei melachim mishamshim bekeser echad. There's only one keser of gold. The keser of gold is the Melech HaMashiach, and the Kohen Gadol mimachnia has to humble himself to the Melech HaMashiach. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says there are parallel tracks. There's Malchus and there's Kahuna. Ha'iluchud, ha'iluchud. Each one has their role. Neither one is subordinate to the other. There has to be mutual respect. Okay, if that's not a major difference, then I don't know what is. It's a whole different approach to understanding leadership and authority. Next Rashi says, Ratzah Shalom, there will be Council of Peace. What does this mean? Hanosiv ha'koin yohavu ze'ezeh. You know why there will be this relationship will work? Is because they will love one another. Each one will be looking out for the good of one another. But they're equals. If you go look back in the Mitzudas David, how did he explain this? Ve'atzah shalom, return le'mar, im kol ze lo yiskanei bekeser abalucho la'asais eitzas v'sachbulos li'lochem im Mashiach. He says, even though the Kohen Gadol is a subordinate, so that with the territory of being a subordinate is jealousy, and it's natural to attempt to undermine the authority to get what you want. So the Mitzudas David says no. The Kohen Gadol will accept his place in life. Okay, that's always a challenge.
Clearly, we're talking about the future.
Okay, he will accept. According to he will accept his place in life. I'm satisfied with what I have. Sameach b'chelkai. How many people can you say that about? Sameach b'chelkai. Okay, sameach b'chelkai. That's an incredible mile. A person has to be happy with what Hashem gave you in life. That is how the Mitzudas Tova learns translates the pasuk over here. V'atzah shalom. According to Rashi, it's very different. Rashi explained this is an explanation as why it can be possible for there to be two kings wearing one crown. Well, each one gets their own crown here, but here we have an authority that is broken up into two parts, the Keser Kahuna, Keser Malchus. Each one is equal to the other. How could that be? The sun and the moon could not get along. How then can the Kohen Gadol and the Melech HaMashiach get along if each one has their own authority? The answer is because the sun and the moon don't like each other. They don't like each other. Whereas the Melech HaMashiach and the Kohen Gadol, Va'atzah Shalom, Rashi, Hanosi Ve'akoin Yohavu Zeh Ezeh, they will love one another. Okay, next, Pasuk Yedalid.
Why does it put in Ahava? It's Shalom is the utmost. The utmost. There's Ahava is Talui B'davar, Lo Talui B'davar.
Excellent, it's, okay.
But Shalom is Shleimut.
Shleimus. You're saying good. You're saying
Shleim, that's it.
So where did Rashi get this from?
Like Paro said to Yosef, Rak HaKisei Egdal Mimeka. Okay, but you got the authority to do anything. Biladecha lo yarim ish et yado v'agolo v'cholo eretz Mitzrayim. However, I'm the boss. Okay, no problem. No problem. So it can be Shleimut, Shalom, without Ahava. I don't know why Rashi brings
it. It's with Ahava. You're saying very good. I don't know.
Want to point out that in Kiddush Levana, we ask for, in the ultimate future, for the moon to be restored to equality with the sun.
Uh-huh. So right? Here we are at times of Mashiach, and we are having equality between the Melech HaMashiach and the Kohen Gadol. There is some restoration. You're right. You make a very good point. Yeah, I don't know. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. I don't know. It sounds good. Like the times of Mashiach are times when there can be peace between two equals. The peace goes so far. See, it's not just peace. Okay, we're at peace. The peace goes so far. Each one can be an equal. That's a very interesting idea. All right, let's go further. Pasuk Yudal. The pasuk says they're going to be crowned. Tia are going to be lechida. We go. We repeat the names. We repeat the names all over again. Instead of we add here the three people. We add the three people we mentioned in the beginning. We had their names, and now we're changing his name. Chedlai, Tovia, Yedaya, and it says that the crowns Tia lechelem. Okay, that was Chedlai uletovia v'lidaya. And Lida and Lidaya.
Die, right?
Okay, it's not exactly the same. Over here, you're calling him Vilidaya. It's Yidaya. Obviously, the same. I guess you just did the Yud change with the Lamed. You change the name. It's not so common to actually change the pronunciation of a name based upon the sentence structure. You have that at the end of the pasuk. Ephraim is. See, in English, there's no such thing. In other languages, you have a name. The name is a name. Finished. Whatever your name is, doesn't change. You don't change the pronunciation based upon the placement in a sentence. Hebrew is very strange because you have a name. Let's say like this parasha, last week's parasha, Ephraim. So Ul Yosef Yulat Shnei Vonim B'Terem Tovish Nasarov, and what was his name? It says there V'Eshem Hasheni Koro Ephraim. Why? Because it's the end of the pasuk. Mm-hmm. So since when does the pronunciation of a person's name end when it's the end of a sentence? Could you imagine you say to a person, Jack, okay, Jack. So if his name is Jack, in the beginning of a sentence, they say Jack. If his name at the end of it, you say Jock. You know, you never heard such a thing. This is absurd. It's absurd, right? This is absurd. You never heard such a thing in English or any other language to go change the pronunciation of a name depending upon where the word is positioned in a sentence. In Hebrew, you do that. You do that. It's HaBen Yakeli Ephraim, but when it's the end of the pasuk, it's Ephraim. And there are many names like this, all over the place like this. You have in all the parashios, you have this. Isn't that a little strange? And here you have exactly the same thing when it comes to Yedaya. Yedaya, in the beginning, it says his name was what? In the previous, this does not appear to be a name change. Chadlai is a name change. This is not a name change. It says Umeis Yidayon Pasuk Yud Lakoyach Umeis Hagoyla Mechadlai Umeis Tovia Umeis Yidaya. So his name is Yidaya. If this was English, you would say Yidaya, right? Yidaya, Yidaya. Right now we come over here to this pasuk Yudalid. V'yatarois tia lichelem ulitovia v'lidaya. So we've manipulated the pronunciation. It's Lidaya, not Yidaya, because of the grammar of how it is positioned in the pasuk. That's another example of taking...
Because of the Lamed.
The Lamed, right. But the point is in
English... Yerushalayim.
Right.
Not Yerushalayim, but Yerushalayim. But even in the middle of the pasuk.
Right, so that's also an example of a name. You say that's a name of a city. A name of a city. In English, I don't know other languages, but in English there's no such thing. A name is a name. A name, there's no negotiations. We're done.
That's not really... A change.
It's not a change.
Because it's being consistent with the Lamed in the other two names.
So, let me ask you a question.
Because it just doesn't work. Well, it would have worked without the Lamed if you said V'yedaya.
But it doesn't say that,
so it's forced to change that.
What gives you, if this was in English, if this you were writing
As Colman said, it has nothing to do with positioning.
Okay, grammar. Fine, grammar. Grammar. Okay, I just mean is that this something that is unique? It is unique to the Hebrew language. I don't know other languages. So I can't tell you about other languages. But from what we're used to, and also conceptually, a name
and even a name change. Your example of Ephraim is not necessarily about. The change isn't necessarily about the name. It's like Mayim and Moyim. It's the Yud Mem at the end that forces
exactly.
It.
Exactly.
Not a change of name.
I agree with you 1,000%. But the point is, in English, you would never do. You don't do that. Right. When a person is given a name, like I told you, a person's name is Jack. You don't say Jock. If You don't do that. No matter what, no matter what the issue is, a name is sacred. A name, you have to rearrange the sentence to make sure the name is pronounced the way the name was given. And in Hebrew, we don't do that. We allow the name to be pronounced. We're not changing the name. It's the same name, the same exact letters. However, the pronunciation of the name is changed. It's manipulated based upon the grammar of where it appears in the sentence. That's unique, at least to what we're accustomed to. And logically, it's also a little shocking. Because when this person was at this bris milah, they said, the Yikore Shemo Bi Yisrael Yidayo. And now here we're saying, over here, his name, the way we're pronouncing his name is not the same. You know, people get very hung up about this. Almost every time I speak to a non-Jew.
Can I see why it is this like this? Because look at the other two of them. Le, the Lamed has to have a Shva, not the E.
I understand that.
Now, you cannot say le svanya because you don't have shnei shvaim berosh hamila. You're not allowed to have two shva. That's why the
last. I understand that.
So you cannot have again. It's a grammar.
I fully understand. I fully grasp that.
You cannot leave yet. It's impossible to pronounce it. So you take out the.
I get it. I fully understand. But the point I'm trying to make is that in another language, especially in English, you would have to rewrite the pasuk. You would have to rewrite the sentence in such a way, no matter how many words it would take, in order to pronounce the name exactly the way the name was given. You would not be permitted to allow grammar to enter into the pronunciation of the name. When I make phone calls, I get calls 90% of the time. Someone when they read my name, they say Ephraim. It's to such a degree that if I make a phone call and they ask me on the phone, what's your name? I say Ephraim, because I'm not interested in wasting time and fighting with them how to pronounce my name. I just, because 90% of the time they say Ephraim. They don't know how to pronounce my name. I don't care, but there are many people out there in the world that if you mispronounce their name, they get insulted. They want you to pronounce their name. The name Aliza. It's very common. They say Eliza. 99% of the world, when they see the word Aliza, they pronounce it Eliza. So people who has the name Aliza, they get very annoyed. That's not the way you pronounce my name. In Hebrew, I get it. I fully comprehend, but it's something to take note of, that we do allow a name to be manipulated, its pronunciation to be manipulated based upon the grammar. That is something which is a unique rule to Lashon HaKodesh that does not appear to have to be followed in other languages. And even Hashem's name, we say the same rule. Even Hashem's name, in the beginning of the Siddur.
Vlad Hashem.
Exactly. Even the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even Hashem's name is manipulated based upon the grammar structure. I'm just pointing out that this is something that is unique to Lashon HaKodesh, and there is something to be said about that.
The reason you're right, 100%. It's very different than all languages because God made the language. We didn't make the language.
Of course, Lashon HaKodesh.
We stuck with God's grammar. Mm-hmm.
But what I believe it also means is there's the limud hamusar. A mussar in this idea and being that a human being, your name is your essence, your identity, your who you are. A person has to adapt. You cannot be rigid in life. When you the name of a person who is the essence finds itself in a pasuk, in a sentence, and it doesn't fit because the grammar does not it does not allow itself to be pronounced 100%. So what's so terrible if you bend a little bit? If a human being makes a little bit of a compromise, as long as you're not giving up on your principles, you're not violating any halacha, and you're not giving up on anything which is critical to Hashem and to your religion, Yadus, what's so terrible to humble yourself and give up a little bit and move over and allow your essence to appear, to be pronounced, to be viewed a little different than what you're used to? Okay, a person's used to, we're at home, he sits in the Mizrach, he sits in the front chair, right by the Aron HaKodesh, like Rav Meir. You see Rav Meir over here, he's sitting over here on his throne over here with his tefillin. And then you go to a shul, no one knows who you are. Do you know who I am? You know who I am? My essence, who I am? I am a person that belongs in the Mizrach, on the Kisei HaKavod, that's where I belong. You know something? Go take a cold shower. Here, they don't know who you are. Calm down. So today, you'll sit in the back. You'll sit on the side. They won't give you shishi. Don't worry about it. You have to be able to adapt to your environment. Just because your name is Yidaya, it doesn't mean that in this pasuk you have to also be Yidaya. You can be a little flexible. You won't take on the full essence, your full identity of who you are, because the environment doesn't allow for it. So humble yourself. So new today, you'll be Vilidaya. The letters of your name didn't go anywhere. The Shoresh is there. Everyone knows what the real name is. So new today, you didn't get the covet you deserve. New, the world will go on.
You want to hear something really interesting? My grandson was born. And came the breeze, and he got a note how to call his name. So his name, he said, Yair Aharon. Yair Aharon. So the moral start, so my daughter screamed from the Zad Nashim, Na, Yair Aharon.
Milra. Aaron, Aaron.
That's not the name.
Okay. I hear what you're saying.
This is really, it's very important to know exactly what's going on.
What is the real name?
But when Moel...
The Korei Shemoi B'Yisrael.
Exactly the way the name has to be said.
Excellent story. It's a great story. I like that story.
I still remember it.
It screams out. The word from behind the Mechitza.
And I still remember what happened.
It's a great story. You remind me of my grandmother, someone who's actually there in RJJ, Yeshiva RJJ, before they closed down. It was a real Litvisha Yeshiva. They didn't sing. And the Yamim Noiraim. The Yamim Noiraim, there was absolutely no... Can you imagine such a minion? Absolutely no... Like all the yeshivas in those days, they didn't sing. There was no singing back in the day. None of the yeshivas sang. Even Chaim Berlin, Rabbi Reifman, he sang almost nothing.
Very dry.
Mir Yeshiva. You want to see a dry davening? I would go to Mir Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. You've never seen your whole life such a dry davening. Dry as can be. That's the way it used to be in America. All the yeshivas, there was no singing. So it was Rosh Hashanah, and the Baal Shachris was not feeling well. So they had to improvise, and they put up a Hasidish guy, a Hasidish fellow who was the Menahel in the yeshiva. So they asked him to improvise the daven Shachris. So, he has a different background. So he figured, what could be? He'll sing a niggun. So he started singing a niggun. So someone who was there told me that my grandmother, Aleha HaShalom, she opened up the mechitza in the middle of the davening, and she screamed out, excuse me, this is a yeshiva. This is not a shtibel. We don't sing here. Try that today. Okay, and there was a chashva olam. It wasn't like, this is a chashva olam. You try that today, right? Okay. But in any event, getting back over here, and now I also want to just point another very important point, because this is Nogei Halacha L'Maisa. Names by Rachman al-San, by a get, and even by a ksuba, there are people that get all worked up. They go meshuggah. How do you spell the name? Do you spell the name with an aleph, with a hey? What kind of name is this? I never heard of this name. What they really meant to name you is this. And you know, the stories go on and on and on and on. You can write books about what happens at a wedding. The Masad de Kedushin comes, he sits down, knew what's the name of the Kala? What? What kind of name is that? How do you spell that name? I never heard this name before. That's not the name. When they named you, they meant to name you this, they meant to name you that. I mean, I don't even know my own family. My own family, I have a niece. Her name is Rasya. Rasya. What is that? She's named after someone in her family. Where does that name come from? Rasya. So it's named. It's in Russia. Mother Russia. Russia. It's named after the country. That's really where it comes from. Where does that name come from? Rasya, and then the whole debate, my brother's father, when he passed away already, but he had a whole research, like, what exactly is this name? Where did it come from? How do you spell it? What does it come from? Now, the point over here is, so let's say you go to a wedding. Do you really have to have such precision in the writing of the name? Aksuba is not so important, right? Aksuba is only a takanas chazal. You can get away with it. But a get, Rachmana Litzlan, that's serious business. And in fact, you should know today, halacha l'maisa, today they do not write. There are many cities today in America, and even Eretz Yisrael, it could be in Eretz Yisrael, they do not write gitin. If a person in a certain city, there are very few cities in America, that if a person in America out of New York City wants a divorce, they have to go to a city where it's been accepted lahalacha how to spell the city name. New York. How do you spell New York? It's not also big machlokes. How do you spell it? There are three different ways to spell New York. It's not so simple. And then
they codified it.
Rav Moshe Feinstein.
The RCA and other places.
Right, Rav Moshe Feinstein. So we have a psak halacha. We have a psak halacha of how to do, but even that, it's not everyone agrees exactly what. But let's see.
When they first started giving gittin in Muncie, they really had a problem. Where do you say it? How do you write it?
You need a river. Yeah. You have to write in a get near a river. Near a river. So what do you do? There are many rivers. What's the closest river? What is a river? How does halacha define a river in America? How do you define these things? It's very complicated. And there were very big Gedolei Yisrael that broke their heads open to figure out what is correct. But then when you have a new community opens up somewhere out in, you know, in a place that there were no Rabbanim and there's no precedent, and they want the convenience of managing these issues by themselves, they can't. Because they don't have the places to go and to decide what's the closest river, what is a river,
This is a big problem now in Kiryas Yoel. They have to change it to Beis HaDekel because they changed the name of the town to Palm Tree.
Oh, you see, they changed the name of the town. So they all these very. So what do they do? In many of these cities,
there are no divorces in the.
Yeah, you would. So what do they do? What do they do? They have to get on a plane. The couple has to get on a plane. They have to go to a city where it's already been decided and it's already been used for many, many years, accepted. This is the correct spelling, and this is the local river that has to be written into the get. It's a very complicated process. I just want to point out is that look at the language. In Hebrew, we find very often, names are they change. The names are very imprecise. The names, there are many examples of this in all different forms where the names, no, you have a basic name. No, you add a letter here, you take out a letter here, and this pasuk is spelled this way, and this pasuk is spelled that way. The pronunciation is different. You find a lot of flexibility in how to spell a name, in what the name is, and in its pronunciation. And the question I'm asking, which I don't have an answer, is how far does that trickle down in halacha to not be concerned with a minor change in spelling or grammar, a vowel added into the letter, you have an extra yud, an extra vav, how far does it go in halacha to be lenient? And, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you spell it with an aleph, you spell it with a hey, like you're a tzipa. There's a name called tzipa. How do you spell tzipa? Tzipa, it's a common name. A lot of women have that name, tzipa. With a hey or an aleph. There's no solution. Akiva. How do you spell Akiva? With a hey or an aleph.
So we spelled originally with a hey, but in Aramaic, it's with an aleph.
So in the Talmud Bavli,
Yerushalmi spells it with a hey.
With a hey. Okay, or Israel at Sadik uli Yisraelev Simcha, the Soif Teva is spell Akiva. And there, the last word is Simcha, a hey. In the Yerushalmi, it's spelled with a hey. Yet today, everyone is spelling Akiva with an aleph.
The problem is if you have a Yiddish name and you want to spell it with a Hebrew, so instead of an aleph, or let's say you want to have a name like Razel, do you put in an ayin or do you put in two yuds? I think Rabbi Belsky had a whole thing about it. It depends. There was a time when everyone spoke Yiddish, so then Razel was Reish Ayin Yud. But when everyone's now speaking Hebrew, then you can't write Razel because people don't know what you're talking about. They're no longer Yiddish.
I know my own name.
The current linga.
The name Levine.
The problem is with a name like Liba, because with a hey, it spells a different name. Usually you mean Liba with an aleph because it's a Yiddish word. But Liba with a means her heart.
Okay, so that's problematic. That's more problematic. Okay, you're right. The name Levine, my last name is Levine. So how do you spell Levine? So half the time I spell it Lamed Ayin, Vav, Vav, Yod, Nun. An Ayin and two Vavs. But anytime someone writes my name for me, without asking, they'll write it Lamed Vav Yudun, without the I and with only one Vav, and that's fine. I do that myself sometimes. All depends on you know where my credit score.
I just want to say one thing that it's unfortunately the Shivot do not teach Diktuk.
We know that.
Nobody knows Diktuk to teach Diktuk. So what happens? The language is being destroyed. El Milera and Shwa and this, it's everything is a hefker. And it comes to the other Torah. When you come, who is said he? You know, it hurts.
It does.
Ashela, if you think the Ovah with the other Torah in this way, that's it's a problem.
It's a very big problem. It's a very big problem.
How a language is being destroyed? Bagalut. I don't know what the Mashiach will say. He will come here. He won't understand.
They don't want to learn deliberately because of the tzion.
Oh, that's there's no tzion. There's no.
I can understand
that,
but it's not music to your ears.
Did you say diktuk?
Diktuk.
Diktuk. Diktuk. I'm talking about Kriyat Torah. I'm not talking about anything else. You know, we have a pasuk here. How do we read the pasuk? That's the essence here. But at least people should know something of that. Something.
It's true. You're preaching to the choir. You're preaching here to the choir. Rav Kalman, we're all with you.
You know what? If you, my daughter is also a teacher, and she told me, that she taught the Talmidim Birkat Hadlakat HaNerot Shel Chanukah. So everybody says, She'oso Nisim.
She'oso.
And she says, no. From now on, you're going to say, She'asa Nisim La'avotein. And they came home, they were laughing, and they came home, and they said, you know what? Everybody in our family said decided to change to something because of you.
Chef Kalman, I want to show you something. You see, I worked very hard on this. I made this Al HaMichya card. I have it in my bag. So we did on this Al HaMichya card. We put in a standard sitter, they only have by default the word there's a the every word is Milara. the pronunciation is on the last syllable. But if you have a word, there are exceptions. There are words where the pronunciation is on the second to last syllable. In every siddur, every good siddur, by default, there is no mesig, because the assumption is the last. When there's an exception, then you put a mesig to show that this word is an exception. So on our card, we put a mesig on every single word. So no one should make a mistake. Even if you can see, I'll put it very close to the camera. If you can see, every single word, even the words where it's milara, has a mesig. Could you see?
Oh, wow.
Even where it's milara, so no one should make any mistake about it. Bevinyono, vinoichal, mipiryo, vinisba, mituva. No one should have any mistake. Every single word should have a mesik to indicate where is the correct emphasis, the correct pronunciation. You know where I took this from? I stole this idea from? You're not going to like this. I stole this from the Naturi Karta. My mother told me that there's only one sitter in the whole world that does this. It's called the Sitter Vilna. The Sitter Vilna is an off-the-charts, out-of-this-world sitter. It's just mind-boggling what's in that sitter and what they did there. The only problem is, you know who published it? The Naturi Karta. I told this to my mother. I showed it to my mother. And my mother said to me, get the sitter out of the house. In Chaim Berlin, they had a lot of these sidurim. I believe someone told Rav Aaron Shach, the Rosh Hashiva, you have these sidurim in the yeshiva? Are you talking? You know who publishes this? You know who made this sitter? The Naturi Karta. So I don't know if it's true, but someone told me that the Rosh Hashiva said, all right, don't take them out, but don't buy any new ones. In the future, you don't have to buy. You don't have to replace them when they get worn out. But, right, we're using it already. Don't take them out. Keep them, and they also see the problem gets deeper. The problem gets worse because they published also the most unbelievable machzor for both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. There's no equivalent. They restored all of their major mistakes in the machzor, like major water bug mistakes. And also they have commentary and they have incredible things that you're not going to see anywhere else. It's very frightening, you know, because Torah Karta, you know, the Chil Hashem is just very, very disturbing. So how do you deal with this? Rav Kalman, how do we deal with this? I don't know. I don't know how to deal with this. But
I was teaching, and then I worked hard, and every pasuk, I never said to a student to read a pasuk. First, I read it, and then he read it.
That's how
I used to do it.
Yeah.
And every the entire class used to read with me. I read first, and then everybody else. And you had to hear.
You see, there's a sitter. I'm not going to tell you the name of the sitter.
Most of them is Sfardim, so there was no problem.
There are many sidurim.
It's very, very important.
You know what the big problem is?
In yeshivot, what happened? You have gemarot. The gemarot don't have nikud.
Now they do. We have now good. They have now, Oiz V'Hadar, shockingly published, I use it all the time, they published Shas. Their Shas, the Oiz V'Hadar is the standard today. With nikud. Rashi, Tosfos. Zundel Berman put out a couple of years ago a number of volumes with Nikud, and he has a very long Hakdama as the method of what they did in the Nikud, which is a little very interesting. Art School has Nikud, you know, in the parish, and they have also their own method. Their method of Nikud the way they have Nikud in the Art School is not the way you say it in Yeshiva. In Yeshiva it's Abaya. In the Art School it's Abaye. In Yeshiva it's Chesuri Mechsera. In the art school, it's Chisuri Nechasra. In the art school, it's Mesechta Yoma. In yeshiva, it's Yuma. The list goes on and on and on and on. But this is art school. Art school, they did it right.
It shows you. The same reason that happened with the Naturi Karta was that the Blau brothers owned the press and the that was used. That's why the Naturi Karta were able to put out all these Pashkvilin and demonstrations and books, because they owned the press. Just like Rabbi Yaakov Emden.
All right, but this is a private...
The Arch Girl owns the press, so they put in whatever they want.
There's something very interesting. Remember, many years ago, when desktop publishing became very, when computers became popular, there was published a siddur, a new siddur. It's very, very popular. It was then very popular. I don't see it so much now today, but there are other equivalents. And the most disturbing thing about this siddur, it's a beautiful siddur. It's really second to none. The only thing that is so bizarre, I can't understand this. They took out the meseg from every word. There's no meseg. The whole siddur does not have one single meseg. So every time you have a word that's mila el, you don't even know unless you know the rules. Unless you're an expert and you know the rules, you don't even know that this word you should pronounce melech. Okay, you have two segels. So it's not melech, it's melech. So on a regular siddur, article siddur, they put in the meseg. Because it's milara, by default everything is milael, the pronunciation at the end of the word, and the exception they indicate by putting a mesek. In this siddur, they took out the mesek. So unless you know all the rules, you're an expert, you're a world-renowned expert to figure out every single time a word's supposed to be milara. How are you supposed to know? Horrible! It's really, really horrible. And I really think Art School is making a very big mistake. And they should put a meseg in every single word in order to drain, in order to impress upon the people who use their siddurim, which is by far the most popular siddur, the correct way to pronounce a word. What's so terrible for them? Well, they worry about the ink for all the mesegs and all of their publications. Why can't they put the meseg in every single word to drill into people's minds? This is the way you say a bracha. Baruch. How do you say a baruch yagochem? Baruch, the reish, baruch, atah, Hashem Elokeinu, melech, ho'olam, boirei, peri, hagofen. Okay, why can't people learn how to pronounce the words correctly? All they need to do is to put those little lines under every single word. And that will automatically create curiosity. Why here? Why there?
There's a lot of problems. My chazan every Shabbos, he says choshech, and he pronounces milra, what's milel, and milel, what's milra. And I, when I make the bracha, when I'm saying it, I say it out loud and I emphasize, and I keep saying choshech, and it doesn't matter. I've been doing it for 15 years, and he keeps saying choshech. That's the one word he says.
Milra. You see, even on the title. You see, it says over here, it says on the title of a bracha me'ein shalosh. You see, it says, you see, we have, even on the title, we put in the meseg on every single word.
But there is a shemazim me'ein. It's a mistake. Me'ein. It's a
tzere. It's a tzere?
Yeah.
You sure?
Ken, from.
Good, you got a mistake. Excellent. We didn't publish it yet. Good.
What do you have under the mem?
I have a shva under the mem. Me'ein. All right, I'm going to go. It's wrong?
No, Kalman is right.
Me'ein. Okay, thank you. You see that?
I have a story that's better than Shmuel's. There's someone who, when he davens musaf, when they put away the sefer, he always says, Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem.
Kikedem. Kikedem. We also put different types of different dots for Shva. We also put different dots.
We all have to blame Yedaiah for this whole discussion.
Yes. We also put over here different dots. For Shva Noh, we have diamond dots. For Shva Noh, we have circular dots. Let's say the word mizbechecha. Okay, the al mizbechecha. There are different versions, mizbechecha. So the zayin is a shvanoch. So we have round dots, miz. And then the next letter, the niz, the next bi is a shvanoch, because you can't have two shvas. So then we have diamond dots. But we have a couple of those. The samachenu, we have diamond dots, because there's a dot in the mem. It's a dogish. So we ate a lot, but good. You got a very important mistake. Thank you very, very much for that. That would have been so embarrassing. I left out a yud in Hashem's name also. Elokeinu, we left out a yud in Hashem's name. You see, we left out. You see, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. There's missing a yud.
Should be a yud.
Yud, we're missing a yud there. Okay, we have changed. We did a lot of edits. It's still a process and work, but thank you. I would not have caught that. Thank you very, very much. Okay, now let's go further. So this is very. We learned over here some interesting ideas. Let's go further over here. So let's finish up the Rashi's. Rashi over here, Pasuk Gidal says, "Va'atanos tiyel l'chela mikro." Okay, now we go to Pasuk Gidal, and the crown will be to l'chela mikro misoros who v'atanos tiyena behechal Hashem l'zikaron. Okay, this is a very typical pasuk in Nach where the words are not meant to be read in order. We have this all of the time. In the Vim Achroinim, this is not to be read linear, serial. You don't read the words in order. The words, it's a puzzle. A pasuk is a puzzle. You have to rearrange the words to make sense out of the pasuk. So the pasuk over here is the Ataros Tiyena. Tiyya will be. So you have to basically jump to the end of the pasuk. Where will the crowns be deposited? It will be in the Heichal Hashem. The Ataros will be, Rashi says, Mikra Misaris, Ataros Tiyena Beheichal Hashem Lezikaroin. So he changed the words around a lot. The crowns will be where? In the Heichal Hashem, inside the Heichal, Lezikaroin. It will be a memorial for them. A memorial. Then we're going backwards for who? For Tov, a good remembrance. L'chelem, and no l'chelem, ulitovia. To these two people, asher snadu kesev ha'zahav, ve'oisan ha'toros hayu tuluyos b'chaloinos be'goiva ha'hechol. Where were the crowns? So Rashi says something very fascinating. They were hung up in the windows, begoiva hahechol, in the height of the hechol, kmo shashinu mesech demidos. Okay, mesech demidos, there it says that there are windows on the top of the hechol. She'll get a picture of this from the Mishnayis, where they have these old illustrations. And there, these crowns were hung. The gold crown and the silver crown, they are the ones who donated these crowns. And now we have to take note, now let's go further, l'chelem hu cheldai. Now, there's a couple of very disturbing things over here in this Rashi. There are a whole bunch of disturbing things in this Rashi. First of all, over here is what happened over here to Yedaya. Who brought the crowns? Three people brought the crowns. It says in the Pasuk, going back in the beginning, it says, Mecheldai, Umeyes Tovia, Umeyes Yedaya. Now Rashi says, "V'ataros tiyena lichelem uletovia v'lidaya ulechein ben Sefanya." The fourth person that was Yoshia ben Sefanya lezikaron beheichal Hashem. Again, the Rashi mikra misarisu v'ataros tiyena beheichal Hashem lezikaron. The ataros will be positioned, will be put in the heichal Hashem lezikaron. Lezikaron toy for a good remembrance. Lichelem ulitovia asher isnadvu hakesev hazahav. What happened to the other two people? How come we forgot about Yedaya? How come we forgot about Yoshia? Well, Yoshia is not such a kash because Yoshia appears to have been the gabai. He was the one that they gave the crowns to. But what about Yedaya? I don't know what this means. V'ois nataros hayu tluyos. Now Rashi says something that disagrees with the mitzudos, whereas the mitzudos said that one crown was worn by the Kohen Godol. The Mitsudo says the Melech HaMashiach did not wear a crown because he was not a real Melech. In the Bayis Sheni, there were no real kings. There were people that were in charge acting as a shadow king, a make-believe king, but not a real king. So he doesn't get the crown. It's just symbolic. But the Kohen Godol, Rashi said, was real, and he wore the crown. Now, what does it mean he wore a crown? The crown, there is no crown. He wears the Nezer Hazav, he wears the tzitz. That's what goes on in the Mitznefes. So I told you yesterday, the assumption is it was a ceremonial garment. Like I gave you a marshal, just like today in the military, in all the branches of the military, and even the police department, every officer in these services, in all the divisions of the army, in the armed forces, and even in the police force, you have two uniforms. You have your work uniform, and then you have a dress uniform for a state affair. And right, they go to a funeral, the police officers, they come, they wear special garments. From the fire department, they wear special garments. So I made an assumption, I don't know if this is true or not, that the Kohen Gadol, being that the Gemara makes such a big deal about the Kohen Gadol not being permitted to wear his special clothing, the big day Shmoina, outside of the service, because then it would be Mi'ila B'Kodesh, for the Kohen Gadol to wear the big day Shmoina when he's not doing the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash would constitute a severe violation of deriving benefit from the big day Kohuna, and there's a chiv to bring a carbon asham, and to pay the value plus an additional fifth. He was not allowed to wear the clothing. The second he finished the avodah, he was obligated to take off the clothing immediately. So then the question is, when they appeared in public to represent the kahuna, does that mean they just wore plain clothing? Can't be. It had to be, they had to have some type of ceremonial garments. So I'm assuming that the Kohen Gadol had a uniform. And the uniform that he had, that he wore, included this silver crown. The Melech HaMashiach, the Melech, the king, certainly had a uniform. Okay, it had to be. We know nothing about this. I don't believe there's any Chazal anywhere that tells us what exactly David HaMelech looked like, what he wore, what were his garments. Shlomo HaMelech, what did all of his successors, all of the kings, what the Torah doesn't tell us. The Torah doesn't even tell us what the Levi wears. What?
A kapota?
The strimal? The Torah doesn't even tell us what a Levi, the clothing, the Levi.
The strimal is Galatiana and a kapota is Litzvish.
Remember,
you don't mean a kapota.
Rabbi, Rakefet.
Yeah. One grandfather wore a kapota.
Rabbi Rakefet always says that in Russia, all the women wore strimals. It was cold. The women wore strimals, not just the men. It was the hat. They were cold. They wore a furry hat. So all of a sudden, it became a religious garment. You have to have, you know that a good strimal, you have 26 tails. Yudke Vavke. Now, is that crazy or what? You take a furry hat that they wore in Russia because it was cold, and maybe because it was a gezerah that some say that the czars, they wanted to, like a Jewish star, the same way the Nazis and others before them demand that we wear some type of badge on our garments to indicate they were Jewish. They demanded that we wear this funny hat in order to indicate they were Jewish. So we went ahead. Oh, Adarabba, it'll be a badge of honor. It's a badge of honor for us to wear this hat. Ad kedei kach. Cost $3,000 at least. Ad kedei kach. Oh, there's a Yoni Kabbalah. 26 tails. Come on. Who am I to say though? But
Moshe wore a mink coat, but the mink was on the inside and the material was on the outside. So you didn't see it, but inside was the fur.
The only zecher for this today, which I'm very enamored with, and I once upon a time spent some time checking into this, is the Svardim, the Rishon Litzion. The Rishon in Eretz Yisrael, there are two chief rabbis. The Ashkenazi chief rabbi, they all wear the same clothing, okay, nothing changes. the same up hat and kapata, nothing changes. But the Rishon Litzion, the chief Ashkenazi chief rabbi, what is his title? I forgot his title. He has a title, a special title. No, that's the Tzvardi. That's the Tzvardi. The Rishon Litzion is the title given to
Rav Rashi.
The Rav Rashi is the Ashkenazi, is the title for the Ashkenazi chief rabbi. And the Rishon Litzion is the title of the Tzvardik chief rabbi. And if
they don't call him the Chacham?
No. No, he's called Rishon Litzion. And he, if you notice, he wears a robe. He wears a robe and a special hat. His robe and his hat, each successive Rishon Litzion wears a different design on their robe. Okay, go online into Google and go check out all the whole lineup, the whole history, all of the chief rabbis, Sephardic chief rabbis. Look at their robes. It's not so hard to find. Maybe I should post later. Look at the design on their robe. It's not the same. Avadi Yosef, they select when they become the Rishon Litzion. They select a design, a certain design, and that design stays with them for their entire career. And then Achamei Ve'eshrim, when their successor takes over, it's different. They don't wear the same thing. They wear different. It's a different design. It's not the same. There's a lot to be said about in the hat also. The hat's not the same. Everyone has a different, the hat is a little bit different. The shape of the turban, whatever they call that hat, it's not the same. You gotta check it out. You'll see that's the tradition. You don't wear the same thing that your predecessor wore. It's a different generation. It's a different generation. Yifkoy Hashem, Ishalo Eda, Asher Yetzel Lifneim. Each generation has a different leader, a leader for the time, and that is reflected in their garments. So here we have a Machlaikis Rashi and the Mitzudos regarding the crown. According to the Mitzudos, the crown was actually worn by the Kohen Gadol. And I'm suggesting it was worn as part of his ceremonial garments, which we know nothing about. And the crown for the melech, the mitzudah stuff, it says, was not worn. It was put in waiting. It was put away in safekeeping. Maybe Mashiach will come. Maybe Klal Yisrael will elevate themselves and the Bayis Sheni will morph into the Bayis Shlishi, will become the, and then we'll have a real melech with the Shemen HaMishcha, the Melech HaMashiach, and then we can take the crown and put the crown on the head of the Melech HaMashiach. But we're not yet ready for this. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says both of these crowns are not real. They're not real. They're not even ceremonial. They're nothing. They're symbolic. They're symbolic crowns, and they were put away as ornaments in the Heichal, on the top of the Heichal, in the windows. There were windows in the Heichal somewhere, and they were viewed for the people to see. They were not actually worn. They were never worn. But what then do they represent? So it seems, according to Rashi, doesn't say, these individuals, they gave enormous amounts of money. They brought to, they were instrumental in raising money. They themselves gave money, they raised money, and as a akoras hatoif, like a zeicha olam behechal Hashem, there was a plaque. See, today we're not so elaborate. Today we only put a plaques in the base medrash, In those days, the way they give honor to their donors was they put up ornaments. They put a crown. This crown is a zecher for chelem, because chelem went out of his way to raise money in order to build this Beis HaMikdash. We're not just going to give him a plaque. We're going to put a crown on the wall in honor of chelem, and the same thing for the other people. So these, that's how Rashi learns. Well, that was the purpose of these crowns. You know the story about, I tell you the story. What, there was a fellow who was a very wealthy, supposedly it's a true story. Okay, supposedly he was a very, very wealthy person, and he disappeared. He went on an island, went on a trip, he mamish disappeared. And the family did not know what happened to him, and they investigated, and the conclusion of the investigation was that he died. He died, he drowned, something terrible happened. They sat Shiva, and time passed, and in the shul, the local shul, they said to the rabbi, said, maybe you want to go put up a plaque on the wall for your father. You know the board in the back of the shul, they have the light bulbs. So yeah. How much does it cost? Well, there are different levels. You can get, the big, the more expensive version for $1,000. Or you can get the medium or the small or the very small. So they said, hey, we'll take for dad, good enough, the very small, $18. $18. Vayihi Hayoim, the father walks, shows me a true story in America. Vayihi Hayoim, the father shows up. What happened to the father was he was on a vacation, he got very, very sick, something happened to him, and they took him away to a hospital, and he lost his mind, basically. And it took a very long time for them to nurture him back to health, to the degree where they figured out who he was, and he finally recovered to a degree and he came back home. He comes back home. Unbelievable. They sat shul for him. All right, fine, whatever. He walks into shul and he sees on the wall the plaque that his children put up for him, assuming that he was dead. And he sees they put up for him an $18 plaque. So you know what he did? He disinherited them from his will. That's all I'm worth to you, $18? He was so insulted that when they thought he was dead, the memorial they made for him was an $18 plaque instead of putting up something a little bit more elaborate. And he disinherited them from his will because you don't appreciate me. If that's what you can do. It's a very scary story. Because are we guilty of the same thing? In other ways and forms of the way we conduct ourselves? Here in the Beis
HaMikdash. Nothing would sue him.
Here in the Beis HaMikdash, we learn about, according to Rashi, something that is really fascinating. There were like, you know, you talk about today, the plaques and dedications. There were dedications. That's what Rashi says. This is a great vart for a shul dinner. They had real dedications, according to Rashi's interpretation. There were crowns. The crowns were for the people that devoted themselves to support the Beis HaMikdash. It was, and the way he reads the Pasuk Mikra Mesorisu, V'ataros tiyena b'heichel Hashem l'zikoron toiv, l'chelem v'ulutoviyah sh'hisnad v'akesef v'hazov. They donated the kesef, the hazav, the oisin atoros hayutuluyos bechalonos v'gev ha'hechel k'moshin b'msech demidas. Okay, now let's go one more polchem. Huchaldai pasik tezvav v'hoyim shemoy v'hoyim lucham adav azeh im shemoy tishmune. This is also very difficult to read this pasik. Over here, the Rashi appears to say the same thing as the Mitzudos. All of this blessing, all of these good things that we're mentioning over here, referring to that the rechoykim, the people will return, will happen if you do teshuvah. Okay, the hoya goes, Rashi adds words into the pasuk. The good things that are mentioned here in the pasuk about Tzemach, Mashiach coming, the rechoykim, the kibbutz goliyos will all occur speedily in our days if only we will observe, we will listen to Hashem's words. Okay, we're going to stop over here, take a short break, and then we're going to continue our laws of Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to learn today about, try to cover as much ground as we can. I want to talk about some controversial topics, opening a refrigerator on Shabbos, crackpot, and how to save a cholent. How to save a burning cholent that's in Gehenna. How to take a cholent out of Gehenna on Shabbos. The cholent is burning. It's not.
The Svadi Rava Roshi outfit is a copy from the Ottoman Empire. Every kehillah had a different outfit. Some had hats, some had cowls. So they all copied it from that, and they made it unique.
Each one is unique. Each Rav HaRashi is unique. They all.
And only Rabbi Vajda started it. It only started from a Rav.
No, before
the Rabbi Vajda, they didn't care to weigh the same thing that the guy previously did.
Yeah? You sure about that?
It's also very interesting, I think, that the Pope's outfits are prepared by tailors. I'm not sure if they're not Jewish. They prepare beforehand three different sizes. They don't know what kind of Pope it's going to be.
Small, medium, and large. Goldilocks. When they're voting.
The white smoke,
the black smoke. When they're sitting there, when they're convening all the bishops, all the cardinals to elect, so they right away, the second he's elected, they right away he has to have his begadim. So they have to have right away three sizes, whoever's going to be the candidate. Yeah, I know, we know all about this.
They wear in the Vatican, made when they brought.
What?
Vatican, the Yarmulkes, they were, the Cardinals, the
Maiden
B'nai
Brak.
The
Maiden B'nai
Brak? Yeah.
The right tattoo?
No, I heard it was the other way around. I heard that some of the good stuff that we get comes from the Vatican. they make the good stuff. They know how to make it.
That's only the sukkah decorations, the Christmas lights. Yeah.
You know the VAR, I think, I don't know, who was it? It was one of the presidents of Yeshiva University. I don't remember which one it was. He was with the cardinal, and he said to the cardinal, he said something to the effect that both of us were yarmulkes. Both of them. The only difference is, and we both have institutions. We both Belkin have institutions.
Belkin and Spellman.
Belkin.
And Spellman, Cardinal Spellman.
We both have institutions, and we both wear yarmulkes. What's the difference between us? By you, your institutions are in the black, but your yarmulke is red. By us, we wear black yarmulkes, but our institutions are in the red. The famous line, Belkin. All right, take a short break for 1 second.
Good morning.
Coleman. I get something like that every once in a while. Yeah, once in a while, I scratch myself in my sleep or something like that. You don't know.
And my nails are breaking like crazy.
Well, it's in the wintertime. It happens more often.
Okay.
I broke a nail a couple of weeks ago, and it took a while till I couldn't use my index finger. You know, it would hurt for a while. I wore a Band-Aid a few days, and then... Now it's almost
there. You know, Monty is now at the dentist and he has an appointment.
I know. He can't.
I can't pin him down.
Right.
I'm going with Sadell shopping for fish. Originally, we're going to go to Gateway. We both agreed it's the worst week to go. So I said, absolutely. So then I said to her, I said, what are you doing? She said, nothing. I said, have a great day. I'm going shopping. I called her back immediately and I said, but I'm going to Avenue M if you want to come. And
yeah, she's a prisoner.
She said, yes. And it, not really. She uses the bus. She does get around.
Yeah, but she prefer not to use the bus.
Right. I'm happy to go.
They made a whole thing. The ridership is still down 60%.
Oh, for sure.
On train, more on buses, but on trains too.
On trains, only the dregs of the dregs go on trains.
Well, I wouldn't say dregs. There are people that have no choice, but they have to go to work.
And then with all the push shoving into the traffic.
Yeah.
It's a scary situation.
You just got to stay in the middle of the platform and keep away from the edge.
Yasky, you put a gargle around the railings so nobody could push you.
Yeah, I'll tell you a funny story. There was a chazan. I guess it was a joke, but that my father heard him talking to the men when I was a little kid. That he, when he came up to, that was a new chazan for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and when he came up to the bima, to David, he put on his gartel, and he put the gartel around the omen and around himself. He tied himself to the